Welcome, this is Makia Freeman with the Freedom Articles. So the subject of today's video is that the Hamas attack on Israel was allowed to happen. And before we get into the evidence for this, I again must emphasize that the violence and murder on both sides is horrific. All lives are important. It's equally horrific when Hamas militants kill Israeli civilians, including women, and we've got grandmothers as part of that group, and children. And it's equally horrific when the IDF soldiers kill Palestinian civilians. So it goes both ways. It's about valuing life and principles. And again, I want to implore people not to take sides with this barbaric behavior from both sides. But today we're going to look at the evidence, which is indeed compelling and overwhelming, that this was known in advance. It was allowed to happen because Israel has some of the most sophisticated military equipment and surveillance technology in the world. They've been using this surveillance to basically treat the whole Gaza area like an open-air prison. And, you know, let's think about it. We're going to look at this quote from the Israeli Defense Intelligence Chief Amos Yadlin in 2007. Israel would be happy if Hamas took over Gaza because IDF could then deal with Gaza as a hostile state. And then also talking, it's an interesting comment about Iran here. He dismissed the significance of an Iranian role in Hamas-controlled Gaza as long as they don't have a port. So Iran, for their part, has emphatically denied that it was aware of this or that it was helping Hamas do it. So we'll see what, you know, whether that turns out to be true or not. So, you know, we basically just have to think about it. Just think about it logically. Israel has the Iron Dome, right? Some of the most advanced missile defense systems in the world. But how did it fail so badly such that it allowed Hamas militants on motorized hang gliders to just coast on in? And how did Israel's fence fail? The same fence that can detect the fluttering movements of a bird's wings, or that can stop a fox or a cat. Some people have even said it can detect cockroaches. And how were Hamas militants, once inside Israel, so easily able to attack, kidnap, and kill innocent Israeli civilians without some kind of force, police force, IDF, something coming to the rescue? So we've also got this great article here by Ben Barty. He talks about how Egypt informed Israel that something was going to happen. But then he makes a great point here that, of course, one should not need confirmation from Egyptian intelligence or any other source to understand that an attack emanating from the most surveilled region on Earth, roughly the size of two Washington DCs, involving tens of thousands of operatives, months, if not years of planning, tons of equipment, including tens of thousands of rockets imported and stockpiled in Gaza, and an influx of cash to make it all happen, could possibly have occurred without the tacit blessing, if not active facilitation, by Mossad and or the CIA. That is a very important paragraph, very well written, and it just sums up what is really going on here. Now, this website reports what commander of the Kerem Shalom Battalion, Mr. Yoram Erez, said. Now, look at what he said. This is an Israeli soldier, reasonably high up in the chain of command. Something here doesn't add up. I'm just going to take sections and read it out loud. I was the commander of Kerem Shalom sector, Rafi. I was in charge of the Kisuf sector. I know the perimeter fence very well. I know how the army works there. I was in the Shati refugee camp in Gaza. I was in charge of the Jibaliya refugee camp. I would make ambushes on the fence and deep in the area. I met Gazans, ate and breathed Gaza. The obstacle is so built that not even a fox can pass it. Set alerts according to three levels of pressure. She must alert when she is cut. There are 24/7 forces that are responsible for arriving within a few minutes, if not seconds, to the point where there is an alert in the fence. Every day, they do at least one penetration practice. Each subdivision has a standby squad whose role is to increase the force in an emergency situation. Observations scattered along the border cover every inch of it. The female observers are champions in identification. They don't miss. They detect movement even before it approaches the obstacle, day and night. At problematic points, they place a tank with observation and detection capabilities and a terrifying firepower. In some cases, snipers are deployed. So this is the kind of level of sophistication we're talking about. Every day before dawn, there is a dawn alert procedure. At this hour, all the forces are awake. In this case, also the hour when hundreds of terrorists entered Israel. The night shift alternates with the day shift. The commander of each force inspects the Axis to make sure there were no infiltrations during the night. Trackers that move on the Axis know how to recognize traces. They know who crossed the fence, how much, and even when. Each scenario has a clear procedure. For example, a procedure for infiltrating terrorists, a procedure for taking hostages. Everything is written in blood and has been proving itself for years. There are several other layers of security that this is not the place to talk about. In short, we are talking about an obstacle that proves itself for years and years. So how the hell does a Palestinian tractor move towards the fence without anyone reacting to it? How did the tractor manage to sabotage the fence for a long hour and open access to Israel without anyone reacting to it? How did hundreds of terrorists and civilians cross the barrier without anyone on our side lifting a finger? How did terrorists arrive on foot and in vehicles armed from head to toe to dozens of Israeli settlements without any reaction from our side? How did hundreds of terrorists stay in Israeli territory for long hours, shoot hundreds of Israelis, loot property, without there being even a single reaction on our side? How did it happen that hundreds of terrorists kidnapped dozens of Israelis, woke women, children, babies, old people from their deaths, surprised soldiers, officers, when they were not ready, and kidnapped them to Gaza without anyone stopping them? How is it that one bullet was not fired? How did all this happen under our noses? Where did an entire division go? Where did three brigades go? Who swallowed nine battalions? What happened to 36 companies? Where did an entire regular infantry brigade go that usually outnumbers the elite? Where were all the reserve battalions that augment the regular army? Where did thousands of soldiers go? Someone here needs to provide explanations. So this is very reminiscent of other false flag operations or assassinations. It's the same kind of thing. One important question we have to ask ourselves always is, qui bono, who benefits? But another important question we ask is, who had the power to call off the security, to downgrade the normal security and safety precautions? Whoever had the power to do that is normally the guilty party. Same thing in the JFK assassination when Secret Service agents were called off right when the car was turning. And same thing in 9/11, classic example, where Israel was highly involved, Dick Cheney, the neocons, all involved in downgrading security before the event and on the day of the event. So these are all things to keep in mind as we're looking at this event, not to get sucked into choosing sides. It's the same force that's coordinating both sides, controlling both sides. Really important to remember that. If we get sucked into choosing sides, and again, just like in the presidential elections or elections in any country, we're told to vote for Team Blue or Team Red, we're getting sucked into the matrix. We need to take a bird's eye view of this and understand that these are just puppets, and whether it's political puppets or whether it's even nation puppets, there's a darker force controlling all of it. I also want to touch on this article, a great one by Kit Knightley on Off Guardian. He talks about atrocity propaganda, how it's been spread, and I'll get to that in a minute. But he also talks about how basically this war is going to be used, or it's already been used, to strip away a couple of really important freedoms. First one is freedom of speech with the censorship. And you can read here about how they're basically already pressuring Elon Musk to moderate and censor more. EU officials are warning him, penalties for misinformation and all of that. And then the other big issue going on, well, there's already warnings about it, is a possible stripping away of freedom of association. And this is happening in the West. So in the UK, the UK government may arrest people for waving a Palestinian flag, just for waving a flag. That is how tyrannical it's becoming. In Australia, the Home Minister, Claire O'Neill, basically said that Hamas is listed as a terrorist organization, anyone providing support to Hamas could be committing a crime. So she was basically implying that if you're an Australian, you're in Australia, you go to a pro-Palestinian rally about this incident, you could be arrested, you could be charged with a crime. So this is just more example of how wars are used to remove freedom and rights. And it doesn't even matter now. It doesn't seem to matter that the war is in the Middle East and we've got this kind of stuff going on in the UK and Australia. That doesn't seem to matter. They're basically, governments are using it to clamp down on whatever they can of freedom and human rights. So I'll end this video with just taking a look at the concept of atrocity propaganda, which has been used throughout history. So if you don't know about it, check out this website. This is a good summary of it. But basically, this has been used all the time. It's all about demonization of other peoples, of other countries, other races, cultures. So they draw them, you know, stabbing babies and killing people and all this to make them, you know, seem like they're really bad, cutting up women, removing their guts. Look at what Zionist Ben Shapiro reposted, just more atrocity propaganda without any evidence. Did Hamas do this? I don't know, but this fits into exactly what atrocity propaganda is. And I can say that having looked at the Arab-Israeli wars over the years, over the decades, that there's nothing that Hamas has done that the Zionists have not also done in return. So this just happened all throughout history. They would demonize whatever country they were going to go to war with, accusing them of all sorts of stuff. It happened a lot against Germany. And then this classic example here where they wanted to go to war with Iraq. So they wheeled out this girl who said she saw the Iraqi soldiers with guns taking babies out of incubators and all this. That was a complete lie. It was completely made up. And she turned out to be the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador. So the whole thing was completely fake. But look at all this. It's people are still falling for it. People are still just retweeting without knowing whether something's true or not. Atrocity propaganda, because it's catchy. It gets attention. So something to be aware of. That's all for today's video. Please leave your comments. And as always, all links are in the show notes below. If you like this video and feel that I've earned it, please like, share, subscribe, and follow. And I'll see you in the next one.